This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio.
Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ripped.
NASCAR.
Four-time Cup champion, Jeff Gordon.
I definitely know where you're coming from, and that's what it really truly takes.
IndyCar.
She's the newest IndyCar Series winner, Danica Patrick.
I know. Yeah, let's do it.
Formula One.
From the driver's perspective, David Hobbs.
To not have a race in North America, to me, is frankly appalling.
Sports cars.
He's been unstoppable in the factory Corvettes, Johnny O'Connell.
It's very cool to be talking to you this time all the way from Le Mans, France.
And NHRA drag racing.
NHRA funny car champ, John Force.
Big money, all the money, cheers. It's just a race everybody wants to win.
WFO Radio is Total Motorsports.
Bring it on.
Fasten your seatbelts. Fire up the ignition. And drop the hammer. Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
Welcome back, everybody. WFO Radio, another exciting edition of WFO Radio Ignition. Oh, yes, and we've got a lot of great things planned for you tonight.
WFO!
In fact, I don't even know what to say first. I don't know what to promote first. What's going to happen here on the show first? Well, we're getting together and just going to have a great old time. And I am here macking on these Girl Scout cookies sent by Rudy the UPS guy. Where are the Girl Scout cookies? Here they are. I had to move them aside for a second, but I got them. What are these? These are do-si-dos or tag-along. See, Rudy knows how to be a good listener. Sent us a bunch of boxes of Girl Scout cookies, and many of them were immediately consumed by the great Giovanni in Miami. I'll tell you what. When I got the letter that Rudy was sending something, I was a little, what could be, what's in the box? I was like Brad Pitt, what's in the box? But when I opened them up and it was Girl Scout cookies, I felt like this is totally legal. This is not contraband in any way. And so after my disappointment wore off for a second, I was excited to dive into the box of tag-along. So Rudy the UPS guy, thank you very much. And you have the first word on WFO Radio. Now, each year on this show, it is becoming a bit of a tradition. Tommy Noodles picks his NASCAR driver, and tonight is the night. We're getting close to the season, and I would have pushed it back a couple of weeks, but Tommy was just freaking out, frankly, just percolating over with excitement, and everybody wanted to know what was Tommy's driver. And I think a lot of our listeners are, and myself included, are not ready for this NASCAR schedule. I think this is the second year of the new pushed back Daytona 500 schedule. And I think we're all jumping the gun a little bit. In fact, Bob Smith messaged me today. Hey, it's getting close. No, it's not. We've got this week and then next week and then the following, you know, Saturday, a week from this Saturday, will be the Sprint Unlimited, followed by qualifying, followed by the duels, followed by the Daytona 500 on the 24th. Which means we could have picked Tommy's driver next week. We could have, no, the guy, I got to pick my driver. I think he's a little worried that maybe one of us would have picked his driver for ourselves. Who knows who it is? So coming up in a little bit, Tommy Noodles will spend some time analyzing which driver he is going to curse in 2013. Now, you may recall last year at this time of year, it was a very positive, upbeat thing, and Tommy picked A.J. Allmendinger. Nothing bad happened there, right? And so this whole curse, is there a curse, is there not a curse? Look, between you and me, I don't believe in curses and all of that stuff, unless it's the Red Sox or anything. That's all hogwash. I'm not into that. Until I met Tommy Noodles and watched it develop, the reverse Midas touch. Whatever he touches turns to, and yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Chicken salad?
He picked Jeremy Mayfield at one time in his life. He picked A.J. Allmendinger last year, and the guy gets picked up, not picked up, but he wasn't picked up.
He was actually let go.
He was let go for taking Adderall, and back, by the way. Welcome back, A.J., and A.J.'s great, and he's done his time and all of that stuff. He hasn't done his time, but he paid his penalty. To society. He went through the program. The program that
Jeremy Mayfield is welcome with open arms.
The welcome mat is open. And, you know, was it AJ's fault or was it Tommy's fault? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Well, tonight on this edition, don't go fast forwarding. On this edition of WFO Radio Ignition, Tommy Noodles will pick his driver for 2013. It is very exciting. I know I can't hold back myself, but we will hold back because we've got a lot to talk about as well. I want to get into the Super Bowl a little bit. Last night, talked about it with Alan Reinhart. He gave me the very West Coast San Francisco kind of attitude about it, about the penalty on the final play. I didn't go there. I mean, I could have said Joe Flacco got destroyed 4 yards out of bounds and they didn't throw a penalty. All kinds of calls could go all kinds of ways, and they didn't throw the penalty. I'm sure he would have loved it, like with the University of Miami and Ohio State 10 years ago, where the guys were back in the locker room, and the flag flies, and they bring them back out practically and change the outcome of the game. People hate that stuff. It's best when the zebras keep their laundry in their pockets, especially when the game is on the line.
Sounds like whining to me, but...
maybe so.
To me, that's whining.
He gave them credit. He gave them credit. But I'm not. Come on.
No, but a couple of issues really quick. Number one, nobody wants to see that call made at the end of that game or any game.
The San Fran fans did, but other than them.
Yeah, sure. But the week before, when that call wasn't made to their benefit in the Atlanta game, they don't care about that.
No. Well, exactly. Every game has that call and whatnot, so it doesn't matter.
No, but back to that game was those calls weren't being made all game long.
It was a greatly officiated game.
That's the way the game was officiated. They called 7 penalties all game long on both teams combined.
And I enjoyed it.
So that's what we want. We don't want a game to end like that Seattle Monday night game. Green Bay, Seattle, where the refs decide the game.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody wants that.
Of course not. But those were different refs.
I understand, and that's exactly what we don't want. We don't want referees or anyone else determining the outcome of the game.
Exactly. And I think the ball was uncatchable.
That's a great point. If that's a good pass, they probably do call a flag on that play. If it's a good pass.
The ball landed a yard out of bounds. I don't know. These guys are tall, and they can
jump.
You
can make the argument that
he's going to bring that in? I don't think so. I really just don't.
I was going to say, you can make the argument that that's 50-50 that he lands out of bounds even if they don't even touch him.
And he could have been pushed out of bounds even if he caught it, because now you can do that. So what are we talking about? They should have given the ball to Kaepernick 4 times and let him try to get in there, and they might have won, but they didn't. So there it is. End of story. And if the power outage didn't happen, they weren't in that game at all. Now, other people would say, well, both teams had to deal with it. And I would say, absolutely incorrect, sir. One team has got all the momentum in the world, feeling great. The other team is on the mat. And it's like, hey, timeout. You can get up off the mat now. Okay, go to the locker room. Get warmed up. Get everything cool. Get ready. Okay, good. Now you're back in the game. You back in the game? Yeah. All right. Good. Let's go. Because after that 108-yard return, they were done. Wasn't like they just came out of the locker room from halftime. No, the Ravens got on the board again, and then the power went out. And so that power outage and the way the game ended actually saved against a tremendous injustice. Come on, even all you San Fran fans, you got to admit, had San Fran won that game, it would go down in history as the power outage game, and it would forever have been very, very controversial.
Agreed.
Yeah. So the justice was served. Ed Reed got a Super Bowl. Joe Flacco, now elite quarterback.
Elite. Top of the food chain,
baby. What do you think about that there, Giovanni?
Oh, here we go. The bird tastes great.
Yep. Yeah,
it
does.
Joe Flacco's great. He had one of the best postseasons of all time, ever.
Yes.
11 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, only matched by one other quarterback, the great Joe Montana.
There's a lot of angles about this that I want to cover for a few seconds. So we're going to get to the commercials. We're going to get to Tommy, Formula One rollouts, Brad Kay doing the car wash at ESPN. You racing fans, you definitely stick around. But first of all, the reverse Geo jinx is a very real thing.
I am the greatest.
When Geo calls out someone for quote-unquote sucking, they're destined for greatness. It's happened a couple of times very recently. I have two examples.
In the last two seasons it's happened.
The Miami Heat.
But I didn't call them out for
you
sucking.
You said Spoelstra has to go.
You're misrepresenting.
The pieces don't fit.
I stand by my statements.
He's got to go.
And I said that if the Heat did not go on to win the championship, that Spoelstra should be fired.
Full on
panic
button. It
was an if-then statement.
Okay.
But it didn't happen.
I'll give you that one. But you did even allow yourself to theorize that when it was just it was unnecessary because they were definitely going to win. And they did.
Well, it wasn't unnecessary. They're down 3-2 in Indianapolis.
You've been attacking Joe Flacco incessantly for the past 2 years. And, you know, I forgot last year that they were an errant field goal away from going to the Super Bowl as it was.
No, not even. First of all, that would have tied the game. They were a dropped pass in the end zone from beating New England in New England. The guy missed a field goal.
This could
after
be back to back. You know, my memory of football from year over year, like, for instance, at the end of next year, I won't remember this year. But the reverse geo jinx is something, and there's one pending right now. There's pending. If Andy Reid somehow wins the Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs, that will be another.
Totally. Yes, I am against Andy Reid. Not against him, but I am appalled that Andy Reid is the hottest coach in the league and he can't win more than 8 games over the last 2 years combined.
I don't care about any of that. I'm just laying on the table.
Yes, I said Andy Reid pretty much stinks.
Reverse geo jinx.
Potentially.
You've called out the man saying he stinks. He's now going to a new team. I don't think Kansas City. I think you're pretty safe on this one. I don't think Kansas City is winning the Super Bowl anytime soon. But if they do, we got to figure out how to channel the reverse GOG.
I don't think that one's going to happen.
I agree.
And all I was just trying to make a point was that I wouldn't want my team to hire Andy Reid.
Listen,
that's just it. I'm not saying he stinks. I'm not saying he's not good at his job. He did a phenomenal job for a lot of years in Philadelphia. But deserved to be fired at the end. And I just wouldn't want him to coach my team.
Understood.
That's it.
Got it.
Clearly, you
10-4.
Would want him to coach your team. But me, just Andy Reid. I'd rather have some new, hot, young assistant than the old, recycled veteran.
Yes,
that's
you,
it. Right. That's all my point.
That is the statement. I don't know that any of that actually applies to who we're talking about. And you definitely put words in my mouth because my coach is Joe Philbin for the Miami Dolphins. Who knows what's going to happen there? But we can at least put all that to bed now that everyone is aware and up to speed with what went on. Super Bowl commercials, I thought they were pretty weak, generally.
There were some that stood out, but overall, it didn't seem as in, hey, the commercials were good. They were great. They were,
Well, I don't think they spent a lot of money on the production of the commercials. I think they spent as much as they have to spend to get the commercials on. There were no General Motors commercials, although I had heard that a Corvette was supposed to be involved with the Beyonce halftime show and at the last second got pulled or something. I don't even know if that's a true story or not, but it's floating around the internet. But I don't know if they could work it out or why it didn't work out. But no GM commercials, which are usually some of the good ones. There were some good ones. We talked about it last night with Reinhardt, the Farmers Paul Harvey commercial for the Dodge pickup truck, ensuring that all farmers or anyone that considers themselves a farmer will be a Dodge Ram owner for the next 5 generations, because it was a pretty good commercial. God made the farmer. Yes, God made the farmer. And thank you, all you farmers out there. But what about the truckers?
Thank you for the food.
What about the construction workers? What about the plumbers? When did God make the plumber? Because I'll tell you what right now.
The day we had to go to the bathroom. That was the seventh day.
I'm thinking that the plumber is a pretty important guy. And the construction worker and the bricklayer and the cement mason.
Forget all those guys, man. The guy who invented the AC.
Air
conditioner. He's number one in my book.
Yes.
We wouldn't be able to live in this swamp without it.
AC mechanics. What kind of trucks do they drive? That was an interesting commercial. The M&Ms, I won't do that. We'll do anything for love, but I won't do that, meaning be put into the oven and melted. It's funny, but...
And a million things, actually.
Kind of not. I like those M&Ms, and the fact that they're being tortured and murdered for our own entertainment, it's a little weird.
Kind of humorous.
There were some other commercials that I thought were interesting, but really the one that Danica was in. I think it was the only one that Danica was in. Danica Patrick was in the commercial. I'm so glad I can bring it back to racing. Was in the commercial that has gotten the most discussion of any commercial in the entire Super Bowl, and that is the GoDaddy Hot Chick Makes Out with Ugly Guy commercial.
It's the Bar and the Nerd.
Bar and the Nerd. And it's for a product combining attractive-looking stuff with functioning, you know, geeky behind-the-scenes.
Well, GoDaddy's been doing that when they have the nerd behind the glass and the girls kind of stripping.
Yes, yes. I don't know if it's because I've turned 40 recently and maybe getting more conservative in
old age, my friend.
I'm serious. Okay, put it this way. I would have censored that commercial. I would have not allowed that commercial in the Super Bowl. I was borderline offended by that commercial. Now, this is the kind of
stuff... Now, you're an American, my friend.
No, I'm not.
No, yes, that's totally an
no,
American.
No, it's not. First
that
of all...
That whole censorship thing that you're just talking
yes,
about.
Yes, no, listen. There are standards that we have had for a long time. Janet Jackson's boob comes out and the world rotates backwards on its axis and people get fired and fines are levied and penalized. And then years later, they realize, oh, no, wait. But this was over the top for me for a million reasons. Number one, okay, this is a family broadcast. It is. Now, I'm making a lot of the same arguments against that were made against the Janet Jackson breast thing, but the Janet Jackson breast thing was something that just happened to occur, and it was on the screen for 0.10 second, and you didn't see what it was, and it was gone, and it was an incident, it was live, and it's
during
like,
a live event, right. Halftime show,
like
yada,
if
yada,
one
yada.
Of the players,
it wasn't a pre-produced piece.
Like if one of the players accidentally got pantsed in a football play, and all of a sudden you saw him, and there was his
well,
stuff.
Well, it happened.
Right? You'd
we
be like,
see the backside a lot more often.
Sure.
Usually.
You see that. But this was pre-planned, pre-approved something, number one. So whoever was judging, should we show this during family atmosphere? Number one, all those people who complained about the Janet Jackson thing years ago within the NFL and all that stuff, hypocrites, hypocrites. I call you all hypocrites. Are they the same people? I don't know. So maybe it's not really hypocrites. Who knows? But this has to be said. As someone in the broadcast industry, top to bottom, to juxtapose the Janet Jackson booby slip to the making out GoDaddy commercial, I think there's a lot of discussion, and no one is talking about it, and I'm okay with that. I just wouldn't have run the commercial. Two, that was not kissing. They weren't kissing. That was heavy making out. That was the prelude to sex. If that happens, sex is next. It's if you're there, very soon, you're going to be someplace else. Someplace... definitely not family friendly. It was not a movie kiss. It was not a mouth kiss. It was heavy smacking and noises, and you can hear. You got to stop. Stop. It's disgusting. And I don't want to see, if I don't have a kid, I'm sure I wouldn't want the kid to see that. You have a kid. I don't think you would want your son to see that during the NFL game when all of a sudden, by the way, do you hear how conservative I sound? This is great. I would have not allowed that on the TV. And I think GoDaddy, I'm questioning what they were thinking. And I'm thinking that, boy, look, Joe's talking about it on Ignition 4 days later. And that's what they were thinking. But all of that, I can put it aside. I can put all that aside. Let's get down to business. It was just too hideous to look at. It wasn't even the fact that they were kissing, because I've heard a lot of guys call the sports radio locally here in Miami, and what are they saying? They're saying, oh, man, I couldn't look at that guy, and that guy was disgusting, and it's all about the guy. It's not about the hot, beautiful girl. It's about the guy. So even the most heterosexual of men are concerned with this man's level of attractiveness. He's not attractive enough for us to look at. If it was a hotter guy, it seems that all these guys would be okay with it.
So if it was Leo kissing Barr, everybody would be all right.
Well, what do you think? If it was Leo kissing Barr, and aren't they dating? Is that
they
a boyfriend and girlfriend?
They used to be a thing.
It would not have been allowed on TV. That's number one. Let's go double back on the hypocrisy thing. If both people were attractive, It would not have been allowed on TV. Oh, don't want to knock off the Girl Scout cookies. They are here. Thank you, Rudy. This is a big social issue here.
Go Big Brown.
This is a big social issue. If they were both attractive, it would have not been allowed on TV, number one. Number two, it would have definitely been considered some sort of pre-pornography. Like, right on the verge.
Skinamax type stuff?
Yes. Absolutely. The only reason it made it on is because the guy was hideous, and what they're trying to do is take something that's supposed to not be hideous and confuse our brains into thinking it is hideous. It was like the immovable object versus the unstoppable force. Beautiful girl, kissing, oh my goodness, this is wonderful, except horrific, pale, red-faced, ginger kid, computer guy, the most hideous of things. And what wins out? Is it the immovable object or the unstoppable force? It was like when Kit and Carr ran into each other. What would happen?
Michael Knight became a lifeguard.
Well, do you remember that? Who knew? And I can tell you right now, hideous defeats beauty every time. Because everybody is talking about how hideous that commercial was, and it was beautiful bar Raffaelli, right? Am I saying it right?
I believe so.
Raffaelli.
I mean, I don't know her personally.
Except
so
she was totally overshadowed by the hideousness of this guy. So, go daddy, what are you doing? I would not have allowed that on TV. I wouldn't.
Wow.
I would have allowed the Leo and Bar on TV. The smacking and the soundtrack, I would have turned that thing down a little bit. It didn't have to be so disgusting. In fact...
Wow, look at you, mature at 40 now.
Yes, and in fact, I don't think the audio was even of them kissing. It was of like three fat dudes eating chicken wings. And they just put the audio up. So there you go. I have my own show so I can rant about these things. And there you have it. Any other great commercials? The Mercedes CLA with Willem Dafoe. Not William. Willem. Willem.
And Kate. And Usher.
Fantastic. That car is amazing if it's $29,900.
I want to go buy one to see if all that stuff happens.
Yes, it was insane.
What do you mean?
The one with the Audi where the kid goes and makes out with the head cheerleader, prom queen or whatever. Same idea. Obviously, the German car companies are not just stealing from each other in terms of concept, but stealing commercials from one another because it was basically the same commercial. You get this car, you will become the bad boy doing things that you won't normally get to do. So that's kind of interesting. What else? Got any other notes, Gio?
Bud Black Crown?
Yes, Budweiser Black Crown. Everybody I know likes the vampire movies with the kid. What are they called?
Twilight.
Twilight movies, not to mention other vampire stuff. It appears that Budweiser is appealing to that crowd. Am I in that crowd? Do I have to start drinking?
No, you're old and conservative. You're not. You're
just
not
because
crowd
I don't want to see Barr making out with a fat, red-faced ginger kid.
18 to 35.
Read today they moved it up. 49, 18 to 49.
I don't buy that.
Yeah,
no way.
40's the new 30. It's true.
You're old and conservative.
I don't know. What else?
Doritos, the goat for sale.
The goat commercial. Gross, but it got funnier. But again, gross. Come on, some guy trying to go toe-to-toe with a goat in an eating contest. It did get funnier, but it's a little, gorging yourself is not attractive.
Toyota Genie? It had that I Dream of Genie kind of girl giving the wishes and the kids, and they were all messing up the dad's wishes.
Yeah, that was okay.
Yeah. New Fast and the Furious movie.
That looks good.
That
it's
looks
just
great.
It's another Fast and the Furious movie. I'm still trying to get back to Tokyo Drift, the parking garage scene. One
Go
of the best
Daddy
ever.
Had the Big Ideas one.
Big Ideas was really good. Totally overshadowed by the stupid making out commercial. Perfect example.
I didn't realize that commercial affected you so much.
It was disgusting, but not just disgusting, disgusting. Listen, do you think children should see that?
What time was it on? It wasn't on at 6:30.
It was in the middle of the first half of the Super Bowl. It was, yes,
yeah,
it was.
I guess.
It was in the middle of the first half of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, those nerds, those guys with the pocket protector and stuff, let them dream
what
that
about,
one day they can make out with Barr.
But
yeah.
Who's talking about that? We're talking about 8-year-old kids, man.
Those 8-year-old kids, they're nerdy already. We know who the nerdies are. You can spot them. They're already wearing their pocket protectors.
You're horrible.
And their big, thick glasses.
You're horrible.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures, man. I recognize a nerd when I see one. You can change your physical appearance all you want, my friend.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Anyway, SodaStream, all the soda bottles blowing up.
Eh, whatever. I want to try SodaStream soda just to see what it tastes like.
Hyundai, the football game?
Bet they're running the heck out of that one, man. I've seen it like 50 or 60 times already.
And I think that's it. Yep.
Well, there you go.
Super Bowl
commercials.
That's all I wrote about.
So all in all, there it is, the big rant. Pretty good. Now, moving on to motorsports. Our fantasy league is full. You are all locked out. If you haven't received the email, you're not in the league this year.
You did not make the cut.
You didn't make the cut. Just kidding. We have yet to send out the email, and apparently the natives are getting restless, is what I hear from Patrick. If you want to join the league, now I will tell you, the numbers of the people who have emailed us are significantly less than the numbers of people who joined the league last year. This league is the Flow League for listeners only. WFO Flow Fantasy Leagues for listeners only. And what I'm telling you is
Wheel fans only?
Yeah. When you email fantasy at WFOradio.com, you will then be returned an email that will give you the code. And we're thinking about sending that out tomorrow or the next day. Very, very soon. Remember, you still got time, but very, very soon. So wherever you are, whatever you do, if you got friends that want to be in the league, fantasy at WFOradio.com. I don't know how many more times I can say it. If we only have one league with a few people, I'm okay with that. But the days of putting out the thing on the site and on Facebook so people can just pass by, join the league, and be in the league without listening to the show doesn't make sense. It no longer makes sense. What makes sense is that we can contact you via email. We know who everyone is. Maybe put your team name in the subject line if you're someone who we know. For instance, I received an email from our great friend, Kevin Luttrell, who has requested to be in the fantasy leagues. Sacramento Racing fan.
Clearly, you don't have to send the other email, Kevin.
Yes. This one has been forwarded along, and he'll be there. But, you know, I don't know if Kevin has been listening.
But he's sending an email, and he's already participating. He's an active listener, even if he hasn't listened this week.
Right. That is the thing. I don't want someone who's been grandfathered in for a long time. We've got a whole rule and a charter to this, which we're not going to talk about on the air. But understand. Fantasy at WFOradio.com. Do it now, because you may be locked out, and you're gonna Facebook me, and you're gonna be like, Joe, I can't believe you're so conservative that you don't like to see ugly guys make out for 30 seconds on your TV. By the way, can I get in the league? And I'm gonna say, no.
Joe, I can't believe you were staring at the guy that long. All I could think of was bar.
No. Yeah, right. That's not possible. It's like taking a big fat, juicy steak, and on top of the steak is like 2 pounds of cow manure, and you telling me, look at that great steak.
It's just sprinkles.
Yeah.
Come sauce.
On. Come on. All right, folks. We've talked a lot about the Super Bowl, but now it's time to speak with Tommy Noodles. This guy picks a driver every year. He jinxes the driver just about every year, except for the second half of last year after A.J. Allmendinger was suspended due to Adderall. He repicked Clint Bowyer, who Brad Keselowski said earlier today is his number one threat for the championship, Clint Bowyer. I was surprised. And we'll get into that. We've got a lot to talk about. Formula One rollouts. Lewis Hamilton crashed in practice today in Jerez, Spain. Destroyed one of the brand new Mercedes.
Ay vey.
Jenson Button says that the new McLaren is the best ever that there's ever been.
Now that Lewis is gone.
Now, of course, he has to say that because Lewis is gone just to stick it to Lewis. There's a lot to talk about. Top Gear, BBC America, earlier this week, was fantastic. It was awesome. It made me think to myself, why is there any other Top Gear other than the actual Top Gear? We got a lot to get to, but coming up next, when we return, Tommy Noodles, going to pick his driver. This is it. Alert the media. Tell your friends. Get ready. Sign on. Who's he going to pick? You know who he's going to pick, right? He's going to pick your driver. He's going to pick the guy you like. Who is that? Is it Jimmy Johnson? Is it Jeff Gordon? Maybe Rich Insaugus. What do you think about that, Rich? He's picking your guy. Maybe I know in advance. Who knows? There's only one guy I know he's not picking, and that's Dale Earnhardt Jr. Maybe he's picking Tony Stewart, Gio.
No way.
Maybe he is.
No, he doesn't usually pick veterans like that.
Though there are rules.
He goes on, you know, I know his
There are
his
the methodology. There are rules of who he can pick and who he cannot pick, and Tommy's going to go over those rules. And we'll do that when we return right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio. The polls have closed and your voice has been heard. WFO Radio is the Competition Plus Radio Show of the Year.
This is Paul Page, WFO.
This is Thomas Knuckles, WFO.
This is Ashley Forsthood, WFO. Love ya.
The world has spoken. WFO Radio is the CompetitionPlus.com Radio Show of the Year. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
For less than the price of a magazine, you get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself.
They couldn't make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Videos. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now. Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
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 Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO. WFO Radio, the Super Bowl is in the books. The Baltimore Ravens are the Super Bowl champions. And when the Vince Lombardi trophy is hoisted, it means one thing to me. It's time to go racing. We've got the Daytona 500. We have got the NHRA Winter Nationals. We have got it all ready to rock and roll, and I am very, very excited. And at the start of every racing season, there's something that we do here on the show. It is a bit of a tradition, in fact, since we do our tailgate party pick show on Fridays, and we try to pick winners for you, and we've got the big WFO Radio Fantasy Leagues, and hopefully you've emailed fantasy at WFOradio.com, because we're just about ready to start sending out those emails for listeners only this year. What's the acronym for that? For listeners only. Flow! For listeners only. So we got big things going, but we got to start off this year like we always do and get up to speed with the cosmos, find out exactly who Tommy Noodles is going to be a fan of in 2013. And so joining us now, the man himself, the man who rides on the roof, Tommy Noodles. Tommy.
WFO. Well, it is that time, my friend.
Now, I want everybody to know that this doesn't count as Tommy time. Tommy time is separate and independent. You will not hear me on Tommy time. Tommy time is Tommy's own time, and that will happen
totally
later on.
Uninterrupted.
Yes, uninterrupted. Now, I did listen, though, and heard you try to negotiate somebody else to play your fantasy league team. That's not going to work.
In my flow league.
In your flow league.
Yes. For fans only.
For listeners only.
Oh, whatever.
For fans for only would only. Be the FFO league.
The flow league. Yeah, you know, like I thought about it. Like I want to be good. But even Rich York doesn't want me tainting his team.
No, so. Why would he? Rich is going for four championships. He's very serious. He's already got the dry erase board. You guys were attacking me on Facebook the other day, which I did not think was too appropriate, suggesting
what?
That I have some sort of personal assistant, posting to Facebook all kinds of shots at my success and my wealth, neither of which do I have.
Why not, though?
So why are you here today?
I am here today because I have finally figured this out. I'm not good at Fantasy League, but as far as the Tommy Noodles curse goes, I've had some not wonderful successes in the past. But I think I finally figured it out. This year, last year, I picked somebody who might have ruined his career because of the curse. And was kicked out of racing. But
please recap. Let's go back and recap that pick. AJ Adderall was your pick. You picked AJ
yeah.
Allmendinger, and really not that long after your selection, he was basically bounced from the sport for using Adderall. It wasn't his. A friend gave it to him. He just took it because, you know, you just really just take anything your friends give you. But since then, he's cleared to drive. He has returned. But you're not going to go back with AJ Allmendinger again.
Well, here's the thing: is before I make the pick, I'm going to go through the rules for people who might, you know, be new to this and what the rules really entail.
Don't make your pick yet. We've got a lot to talk about.
Oh no! I've got a long way to go.
We
got to
stretch this out as long as we can within reason.
This is going to be longer than a Dodge God Made a Farmer ad.
What are you ripping, Paul Harvey?
It was a long ad.
It was long, but I loved it.
But I wrote on Facebook that it was long, and someone actually banned me through Facebook. Like, they sent a complaint, said that it was, you know, bad, so I couldn't post for the whole evening.
The farmers are... You really? Facebook took action against you because you said the farmer commercial was too long?
Yes.
The farmer commercial was very, very long. But they had to go as long as the Paul Harvey rant. You can't just cut out a big part of it, like farmers that have to milk cows and it's over.
Yeah, so I wrote, you know, we get it, God made farmers, but he didn't make a movie. It was long, and I didn't enjoy it. But, yeah, so we're going to, you know, we have to go over the fact that there are rules to me picking these people. And in the past, some of the people that I have picked that have, you know, since... not been able to have a great career because of my picks. You know, most notable to me would be the fact that I picked Kyle Busch the year that he won 8 races and still didn't make the chase. AJ Allmendinger, who I picked, who actually was banned from the sport for a while.
Yes.
But since I pulled back from him, he has now, you know, succeeded and gone on. How about Jeremy Mayfield? Who's heard of him in a while? David Strimming, my favorite one, had personally called me and asked me to pick a different driver. So over the years since we've been doing this, I will pick a driver, and there are rules that go with it, and in hopes that they're going to go on to great success and not have the 270 pounds of me weighing them down.
It's basically the immovable object versus the unstoppable force. Will Tommy, being a fan of this driver, drag them down, or will they somehow ascend to new heights in spite of Tommy? And you get to have a new driver each year, and we get to test the theory over and over again.
And because last year, after I had to then move on and pick somebody else, because he wasn't even in the sport anymore, it's not like you went to a different driver, a different car. I had to pick someone new. And because of that, I then picked Clint Bowyer, who then went on to have the best season of his whole life, who actually finished second in points, which leads you to believe, did the curse not affect him and he was able to go to second in points, or did the curse affect him so much that he ended up in second?
Yes.
So this is the year that I have to prove that I didn't slow him down. I actually helped him get to second, because I don't want to think that he was so close to something he spent his entire year, his entire life to get, and 275 pounds slowed him down 35 points.
That
could
have been
only
it.
Got second.
Brad would not be the champ if not for Tommy Noodles.
Or because of Tommy Noodles got him the second in the points, making him closer like this year. He could be the champ this year because of my enhancement. Maybe it's all turned around. I don't know. We were so close of knowing that this is the year that's going to prove it.
Well, I am definitely excited. Tommy Noodles is with us. He will be picking his 2013 driver here on WFO Radio, and we are definitely ready for it. This is just a warm-up with the drum. This is the drum roll warm-up. That's what it's going to sound like, Tom. At the moment that we ask you to give your pick, you will hear the drum roll, and when the drum roll concludes, you will say your driver. But first, the rules of picking a driver.
Okay. First, I can stay with a driver. That if I pick somebody, like, you know, if I was, well, you know, if I wanted to stay with Clint Boyer, I'm entitled to it, even though he has succeeded further than I ever imagined.
You don't have to abandon Clint Boyer. I agree with that.
Okay. I could stay with a car. If, say, Clint Boyer left the 15 and I wanted to choose the 15, I'm allowed to stay with the 15.
Okay, noted.
If Clint Boyer went to a different team, I'm allowed to stay with Clint Boyer as he goes to Hendrick or whatever. That's part of the deal for the year. If a driver coming up from, like the Truck Series or the Nationwide Series, moving into Cup this year. There are a couple. There's, you know, the wonderful couple. What are we calling them now? Rickica?
Danrica.
Danrica, is that what we're calling
yes,
them?
Yes, Danrica. It's like Brangelina, except they're race car drivers.
So, yeah. So
don't
we
you
have
love
the,
that? Isn't that ingenious? You take the
that
names
is ingenious.
Of both of the couple members and you combine them. We had one for Dario and Ashley as well.
Rashley?
It was Dashley, actually.
Dashley, okay. Well, you know, using
but Danica, that one works really well, and we take full credit for that here on WFO Radio. So any of you folks out there in the media want to start using Danica, go ahead, but you have to attribute it to WFO Radio, because we invented it.
Okay, so Danica. They are a perfect example. They are moving into Cup this year, giving me the opportunity to, you know, pick them as my driver, and hopefully we can go on to success. So they would fall under the realm of moving up into Cup. Or I could pick a driver who is in the Cup Series, who is waiting for their big moment. Like, you know, who would one of those people be?
Casey Mears.
Like Casey Mears, yes. So, you know, what is his name? The Australian guy.
Marcos Ambrose.
Marcos Ambrose is a perfect example.
Yes. I just want to double back on Danrica for a moment. If you pick, you can't pick Danrica as your favorite driver and get both Ricky Stenhouse
and Danica Patrick, can you? No, I cannot.
Because that would be a good move if you picked my favorite driver is Danrica, and you get both of them. It's like a two-for-one deal.
No, because this is the first time that's ever happened.
It's brand new.
So, you know, unless we, you know, put that in the rule books, you know, for it ever to happen again, where there are two drivers dating, where you get the package. But then again, by the time Daytona comes around, who knows if they're still dating? So I would throw that out as no. They both fall under the category where I could pick one. But Marcos Ambrose would be somebody who, has the potential and is waiting for that breakout. So I can pick somebody who is waiting for their big breakout moment.
I got to tell you, Tommy, the drama is beginning to get to me now. I'm starting to feel the gravity of this moment and realize that this only happens once a year on the show. And it's been going on for quite some time. It's really a tradition in our WFO radio family. And to think that I am about to find out right here along with the rest of the world who Tommy Noodle's driver for 2013 is going to be, I don't know how much longer I can stand it.
Well, I have gotten people who have written to me personally and explained to me why I cannot pick their driver. So,
you can't pick Dale Jr., that's for sure.
Well, yeah, I can't pick Dale Jr.
You're banned from picking Dale Jr.
Popular. I'm also banned from picking, Jeff Gordon.
And Brad Keselowski. You're not allowed to pick the reigning champ.
I'm not allowed to pick the reigning champ. But like Jeff Gordon, I need a place to stay when I go to California, so I'm not allowed to pick.
Yes, Rich and Saugus will kill you. No front runner picks, no destroying your friends' favorite drivers.
Yeah, yeah. I have to keep my friends, and I can't pick somebody like Jimmy Johnson who doesn't need my enhancement. Like, the reason why I pick a driver is I pick the underdog. Jimmy Johnson's never going to be the underdog unless he's, 57 years old and still driving.
There's no fun in taking success away from Jimmy Johnson. Only people who have yet to attain success.
Yeah, I like to pick the underdog and watch them succeed, like Clint Bowyer did last year. It's the fact that he, went to a new team, which is one of the other choices. If he switches manufacturers, that's the other thing is, like, with Brad Keselowski, he is switching to a new manufacturer, which does put him in the realm because he might be the reigning champ, but he was in a Dodge. Now that he's in a Ford, opens him up to me picking him.
Wow, I did not know that. Okay, that's a little... Wow.
This is why we go through the rules.
I understand.
And then the last rule is if there's a new team coming into the sport, like a few years ago when Tony Stewart started his own team, that would have been a great opportunity for me to jump on Tony Stewart, who is a champion, but he was starting a new team. So there are loopholes where I can get Brad Keselowski and I can get, Tony Stewart. But, there's got to be the understanding of why I'm going with them.
Understood.
So now we look at who I can pick. I can pick Danica. I can pick Clint Bowyer. And here's somebody else who falls under the realm. Matt Kenseth, successful driver.
Yes, but he did just change teams, and so he is now open to be picked by Tommy.
So why wouldn't you pick him?
Why wouldn't you?
So those are the rules. Those are the people that I have looked at. Those are some of the options. Is there any questions before we declare who the 2013 Driver of the Year is going to be?
Well, let me just check real quick. Yes, a brief question has come in via text. The texter would like you to recite your lines from Southie Rules before you before you give the driver. We'll do that.
I believe there was this one doesn't have feet either. I'm not touching the cat. It looks like something that was made in art class.
Yes, that was my favorite. And then when you were off camera, something about throw it in the dumpster.
There's a dumpster out back.
That, man, that's just stuff. All right, ladies and gentlemen of the WFO radio audience, the time is now. It happens once a year. Tommy Noodles picks a driver, and we decide through that driver's performance whether or not Tommy Noodles is still, in fact, inflicting the curse upon NASCAR drivers. Tommy, are you ready?
I'm nervous.
I am nervous, too. But are you ready?
I have no choice. I've waited a long time. I've looked at the graphs and charts. This is it.
You're ready to commit?
I'm committed.
Now, how long are you attached to this guy? The whole year. Unless he gets banned or arrested.
Unless he gets banned or hurt or arrested or some reason keeping him from fulfilling his contract with the owner of the club.
We got to really write all this stuff down for next year so we can have it on the site so we can just refer to it. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, it's all written down. It's on my Facebook page.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for Tommy Noodles to pick his driver, and it is officially racing season. Tommy Noodles, pick your driver.
Just like last year, I am sticking with the 22 car. I am taking the mold off the white bread, and I'm going with Joey Logano.
Joey Logano.
Joey Logano.
Joey Logano.
This is going to be his breakout year, and I'm going to be there. He's going to be with Penske. He's going to be taught by Brad Keselowski. He's going to be in the 22 car, which I thought last year was going to be the year, but it's going to be this year. It's going to be phenomenal. I'm already getting the tattoo. White, red, here we go.
I like it, Tommy. I got to say, this is your best pick in a while.
That's what you said last year.
Well, last year was pretty good, too. But this is your best pick in a while, and I agree with everything you said. I think that Joey Logano is a great pickup for the captain and Penske at a time when they're clearly performing at their best, and Joey is entering an atmosphere that I think is far more teammate-friendly than working with the likes of Kyle Busch, who obviously is a talented driver but has his own personal issues, and Denny Hamlin, who is a talented driver, and I'd have nothing negative to say about Denny, but Joey can function much better at Penske. I love what you're saying, Tommy. This is going to be a real test because until you picked him, I would have said Joey Logano would have won four races this year.
But he's still going to. Like, he's got everything going for him. This is the team.
Wow.
Out of all the teams that I looked at, this is going to be my hero year.
Joey Logano. And what is... Let me ask you this. If this works out, if this time works out, could we see the end of Tommy picking a new driver every year? If Joey Logano goes out there, he's so young and he's coming up and he's got the talent and he's a good kid and he's a nice kid. And Penske, could you see yourself sticking with Joey Logano, dare I say, for 2 years?
I'm at a point in my life right now where I'm ready to settle down.
I can sense that.
You know, that's where I am. I'm getting older now. I need to just be content with one, and I think that this is where I need to be. Everything aligns. You know, the team is ready to be a full functioning team in this sport now. And I see this as a long-term relationship.
To those of you who thought that the Tommy Noodles driver pick each year is a gag or a gimmick, you obviously, I'm sure you're on the floor right now with shock, thinking to yourself, that is a very strong, well-thought-out pick. I like it, Tommy. I think you have put a lot of thought into this. You definitely went in a new direction. And I like it. I've got no negatives. I've got all positive for you. And I wish you the best, and I really do think you're going to experience not just success, but strong success, you and Joey Logano, because Penske Racing is just going to get better, Brad is just going to get better, and he's going to make Joey better, and Joey ain't bad already. So
word for word of what you said last year, it's just changed the two names.
Yeah, that's true. that is true. Hey, man, you know you can't predict when people are going to mess around with pharmaceutical-grade drugs and all.
It was an accident.
Those are outside of the realm of understanding. Well, Tommy...
But Joey knows better.
Yes, Joey is so... He's just say no. He knows
he is the white bread who halfway through last year... I actually put on Facebook that I think that he should be moved back for another season of nationwide racing.
But he can win those races easily, left and right. He's proven
exactly.
that he can. There was something missing for Joey over
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
He's got the talent. He's won a race. He runs up front. Something was just not working out over there. They will figure it out.
And I'm thrilled over this. Like, I really am going to buy merchandise.
What is the first item of merchandise you're going to purchase?
A T-shirt.
The large foam finger.
Well, I'm going to get a large, but it's going to be a T-shirt.
The index.
I'm loving this. This is the white bread is back.
Listen, I love it, too. Now, before we end the segment, I do have to ask you about your television network stardom. The fans have been really leaning on us with a lot of emails about it, knowing, of course, we have Tommy Time coming up, and I have no idea what's going to happen in Tommy Time. We do not listen to Tommy Time in advance. Perhaps Tommy's cell phone crapped out, and it's all nothing. That will just be part of the gag. But you were one of the stars of the show Southie Rules about Bostonians, and how did it go?
It wasn't a big success. It might have the Tommy Noodles curse on it, is
really?
All I'm saying.
Well,
but
allow me to tell you that I watched your scene, and in my opinion, you totally stole the scene.
I believe I stole the entire show.
I agree.
But I think
I just didn't watch the whole show, so I don't know about that. But I saw your scene.
It might become a cult classic, and people will learn to love it. And hopefully they will call me back, and, you know, I can have my television stardom that I've always yearned for.
Everybody I know is getting on television. You're on TV. Brian O. is on TV. Everybody's got their own show. This is amazing. Now, Tommy, before I let you go, you were joking before, but there was no emotion to it. There was no feeling to it. I want to hear you do the lines, but for real.
Okay, only because I wasn't prepared. But let me get into my mode. Let me put my hat on.
Whatever your method is.
I have to
use your method.
The art dealer that I am inside.
Is that what it was? You're an art dealer? You're like a guy from American Pickers or something where they bring the dolls to you to have them appraised. You're appraising
yeah.
this guy's dolls that he's bringing to you to determine their value. And he obviously thinks they're very valuable.
Yeah, and of course, this one has no feet.
Oh, that was great. Again, more.
I'm not touching that cat. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see that I do have a picture of me touching the cat. I did eventually touch the cat.
The cat was the best part. I actually think the cat would have looked good somewhere. You could have gotten $5 at a garage sale for the cat.
It looked like something they made in art class.
That is really, that was a great burn. You really got the guy. And they used it on the show when his buddy is trying to tell the kid that his life didn't work out too good and that he was a sad, pathetic example of life. But, and one more.
There's a dumpster out back.
That's the best part, because the what it implies is that these guys brought a bunch of junk in and that they should just throw it in the dumpster.
Mm.
See?
Absolutely.
That's genius.
Thanks for letting me run through my part again.
I loved it. Now, did you get to keep the hat?
Yes, I do. I do wear the hat every single day now.
Will you wear the hat when you record Tommy Time in the future?
I always do. It's like my new piece of art. It gets me in the character.
Listen,
this week during Tommy Time, I will be wearing the hat.
I think you should be in that blue shirt with the hat out there. It should be like your Dr. Dick Berggren character thing, and everybody will remember you from Southie Rules. You will be recognized. You will end up as a character in other shows. This is the kind of thing that just snowballs out of control. I'm very eager for this to happen for you so you can become a celebrity in Hollywood and throw some big parties, and I will bring my own stuff to them. But
Of course. But I do have to say that I did I was compensated enough that I will not be selling oranges this year.
Well, I can imagine. You were on, listen, all joking aside, Tom, because that's what we are doing. We are goofing around. You are the only person that I know that has had a speaking role in a series on A&E. That's big.
Oh.
That's big.
That's big.
Now, even when I was an extra in Burn Notice and I was in the background, it was not a speaking role. And so this is big. You mock it as you will, but you got yourself a big thing for the resume here. Big speaking role. Southie Rules. I expect you to parlay this into something even bigger within the next 6 months. So get after
it. I'm hoping.
You and Joey Logano. Tommy, great job. Thank you so much. I can't wait to hear what you put together for us on Tommy Time. Now, are you getting the whole concept of the Tommy Time? Do you feel like you're growing into the role?
Absolutely. Last week, I felt, was my breakout year, not only in television, but in radio. I was very comfortable last week, but I didn't expect you to hear it, where I asked people to help me with my team. But I did find out that no one wants my curse all over their team also.
That is
so
true.
I will be playing myself this year, only because nobody wants to help.
You better. You have to. You have to. And everybody
yeah,
has to
I
play.
I have to.
And this is the Flow League for listeners only, and we'll give out the passcode very, very soon, fantasy@WFOradio.com. Tommy, one final parting question before we let you go.
Okay.
What is your true opinion of the Web Rocker?
I think that he has heart, and he is my biggest fan.
He is your biggest fan, by far.
I wish that he would understand that I have obligations, and I would love to do 5 days a week of WFO. I would love that. That would be a dream. I think that you know nobody understands sport better than you do, and nobody makes it more entertaining than you do. And the two of us together are unstoppable. But I do have other obligations to take care of. And until those obligations can be fulfilled, I cannot do WFO 5 days a week. So I hope that he understands that it is not a slide to him, and it's not a slide to you, and it is not a slide to the listeners. But, you know, There will become a day.
This guy is on TV. He's an actor, okay? An actor. Once you go, ask LL Cool J why he's not rapping about radio anymore, all right?
When was the last time you bought an Ice-T album?
Yes, exactly. Because those guys have moved on to the big screen and the little screen and the silver screen, right with my friend Tommy Noodles. By the way, the Web Rocker just chimed in. What got me hooked on WFO Radio was the Abbott and Costello comedy routine of WFO Joe and Tommy Noodles while talking NASCAR, and I guess he's referring to this right now. So you do have a fan for life. Hey, Web Rocker, get to those people on A&E and tell them to order 20 more episodes of Tommy Noodles, the art dealer from Southie Rules. Tommy, great job.
Yeah.
I like the pick.
Sure.
Joey Logano, excellent.
I love the pick. And WFO this year. I cannot wait. I'm actually in fan mode again. So here we go, man. Get it started.
Yeah, and yet the Sprint Unlimited is 2 weeks away, February 16th. So Saturday night in a couple of weeks, a week from Saturday. The qualifying for the front row is the following day. Then the duels on the 21st of February. And the Daytona 500 featuring the Gen 6 cars on the 24th. So we got a little bit of a wait to go, but that'll be just enough time to fill up our WFO Flow Fantasy Leagues.
But you don't have much to wait. If you sit back and wait, Tommy Time's coming up.
Oh, I cannot wait. Tommy, thank you.
Thank you, Joseph.
The great Tommy Noodles with us here on WFO Radio. Oh, I can't say the great because the great Giovanni is here, and I can't do that. But Tommy Noodles has picked his driver, and his driver is Joey Logano. Who
Sorry,
saw that
Joey.
Coming? I love the pick. I said it. I told Tommy. I tell you. I love the pick. You know what's funny is the Web Rocker who is out there and just attacking with all kinds of examples of how he's supporting the show, how he loves the show. He sent a picture of his car. He rode in snow, how much he loves WFO Radio and Katy Perry. which that's kind of Dale Earnhardt, Katy Perry, WFO Radio.
That's an eclectic group right there.
Yeah, it is. One of these kids just doesn't belong here. And it's Dale Earnhardt, because I'd love to be hanging out with Katy Perry, if you know what I'm saying. But the Web Rocker puts up a poll on the website, on the Facebook page, rather, about who is Tommy going to pick. And he listed a whole bunch of drivers, and he didn't even list Joey Logano. Joey Logano wasn't even on the list. That's how out there and avant-garde.
Typical Tommy.
The Tommy pick is. I love the pick. I think Joey Logano is going to be good. Is he going to win the title this year? No, I don't think so. Is he going to have a good year? I think he is. Is Tommy going to prevent it? We shall see. But I think a good pick, Joey Logano. Basically, Joe Gibbs Racing spent all the money to get this kid up to speed, and now Roger Penske is going to refine him. Same with Brad. Hendrick and Dale Jr. spent all the money to get this guy up to where he needed to be. Penske takes him, does a little refining, and the guy wins the title.
I think Joey Logano has spent more time being refined over at Joe Gibbs Racing than Brad was at DEI and Hendrick and all that.
Not DEI.
Junior Motorsports.
It's like 3 years each.
No, but Logano's come up through that driver program since he was like a fetus.
Yes, but he's been with Joe Gibbs for a while.
No, but he's been running in the Cup Series for 3 years, and he ran with him prior to that through the driver development program. That's what I'm saying.
You're saying, I know you hate when I say about Brad, but it's true.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
You're wrong, though. You can't just say, oh, I got this phenomenal talent right here. Let me just jump into an endeavor of which I am not prepared to do and build a whole team around him.
That was what I have said, that Dale Jr. missed an opportunity to go into the Cup Series with a winning driver, and I still think that is true. But I do have to defer to the fact that if the guy's not ready, he's not ready, which is what you're saying. But that's not what I am saying. I am saying other people spent the opportunity cost money.
Yes.
Other people proved that he was a viable option. Other people allowed their junk to get wrecked during the learning curve. And then Roger Penske scoops the guy up and puts him in the car. And the guy is already a proven, trained, viable option who went out and won the championship. And so I think the proof is in the pudding. Like, you want to debate about it, you can, but the reality is that Dale Jr. and Rick Hendrick had a championship driver and basically made him that. And then Roger Penske brought home the championship with that championship driver. I don't think there's a whole lot that Brad knew at the start of last year's Daytona 500 that he hadn't already learned at Hendrick, running with Dale Jr. and running with Mr. Hendrick. He just applied it at Penske, where he could. And so, all I'm doing is drawing the analogy with Tommy's new driver, the biggest negative now, to Joey Logano. Joey Logano is at Gibbs, wrecking cars, learning lessons, spending money, running around, wrecking, hitting the back, winning a nationwide race, whatever. Now he's at Penske. If Joey Logano just kind of figures it out all of a sudden, that makes Roger Penske a genius, which we already know he is. And it also makes Joe Gibbs and those guys, you know, I don't know if it makes them less of a genius. It's just circumstance or whatever you want to call it. But they definitely missed out on an opportunity. Come on, the guy's a championship driver, Brad is. Will Joey be? I don't know. Probably not anymore. Not until 2014 when Tommy moves on to someone new. But I digress.
But even if, say, Joey wins in 2014.
Joey wins the title in 2014.
Correct.
Right. Joe Gibbs Racing, big mistake. You don't let a guy go that you've invested so much.
Yes and no.
That's cutting.
They went with Matt Kenseth. If Kenseth has a good run for them.
Right.
And it allowed them to keep a sponsor like Home Depot, who may or may not. We don't know what goes
Kenseth
on behind the scenes.
What if Kenseth has a bad run? What if Kenseth
even
never
if he
wins?
Doesn't, and he doesn't win, and let's say they stay with Joey, they lose Home Depot. You know, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. Home Depot says they don't want this kid.
Getting rid of a talented guy who already invested $20 million in.
Okay, but now we have no room for him, so we have no money to sponsor a fourth car here, so they have to let him go.
Well, then they have to let him go. Then that is the business of racing, and you make bad decisions.
It's not.
Perhaps they will be penalized for that bad decision, and when and if they are, and Joey Logano is hoisting the Sprint Cup, then it just has to be said. They should have let someone else go, because this guy is clearly championship material. And if Joey Logano goes on, like he might have until Tommy picked him, to be the sliced bread guy, the next thing, the thing that was going to win, you know, multiple championships. If he goes on to be that guy, and Roger Penske is the benefactor, I think it, you know, when the talent scouts, it's just like in baseball.
Okay, well, how about
you
the pass
day on somebody,
that Kyle Busch decides to get his stuff together and starts winning championships over here at Gibbs? If it happens this year, next year, or in the next few years.
Yes.
Mr. Hendrick made a huge mistake by letting Kyle Busch go and bringing in Dale Jr. Instead.
Do you really feel like that is accurate?
It would be. It's the same. It's the same thing.
Enough years. Dale Jr. has already re-signed a contract since Kyle Busch has left.
I understand, but Dale Jr. hasn't won anything except two races
yes.
in his whole career at
yes.
Hendrick, while Kyle Busch has won X amount of races already and is a potential championship driver, and he just let him go. They should have found a way to keep him.
No, he didn't, because he was a malcontent. That's another factor. You're looking you're looking at it from one angle, and that is
like you just can't
sponsorship.
It's a big angle in this sport.
If your driver's a malcontent, and by the way, Kyle Busch is proving to continue to be a malcontent, and he's missed the chase more often than Dale Earnhardt Jr. has. So Dale Jr.'s been in the championship running. They're tied for championships. So if Dale Jr. wins this year's championship, then it was totally the right thing. It's all about the calculus, multiple angles and all. I'm saying my comment is very simple. Roger Penske is a genius for benefiting on other people's failed experiments and investments. He did with Brad. He let Rick Hendrick basically grow the kid to where he was ready and then took him on and won a championship. That's undeniable.
I tend to disagree, because he didn't even come straight from Hendrick. He was racing cars over there with Finch and those guys.
He caught a ride there, but he was with Dale Jr. He was bouncing around. But he was under the Hendrick roof for long enough, especially at Junior Motorsports, running in the Nationwide Series. Where do you think he learned everything? Sitting with Dale Jr. Ask Dirty Hippies Rich York. He was out there in the back areas of hanging out, watching and listening as all of this went down, as Brad became Brad, as he developed, as he learned. And he would be the first to say, as our behind-the-scenes spy, that Brad was very interested in working and asking questions all the time. That's where he developed. He didn't develop at Penske Racing.
No, I'm not saying he developed at Penske. I'm not saying that at all.
He developed where?
Mr. Penske clearly takes advantage.
He developed at Finch. The Mikosuke car is where Brad developed his skill. No, he was running that car for a couple of races. He became the driver who was able to win the title at Hendrick Motorsports, being around Jimmy and Jeff and Dale and Mr. H. And then he left because there was no opportunity there. Mr. Penske said, and he wins the title immediately. There's something to be said. That's not just accident. That's not just like, well, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Roger Penske knew, he could tell, and in the world of business, when your competitor can pay, I'm sure there's a chart somewhere, how much money is invested in the career of each person. Roger Penske's got so little invested in Brad Keselowski, and Rick Hendrick has got a lot. And where's the championship trophy? That's all I'm saying. And the same may happen with Joey Logano. That's all I'm saying. Yes, sponsors, the Matt Kenseth angle. Joey doesn't look good holding the hammer. He doesn't. Oh, what do I do with this? It just doesn't work. So if DeWalt's going to pull out and Home Depot's going to pull out, or Home Depot is going to pull out, I should say, I confused Matt Kenseth, then yeah, I guess you got to get rid of Joey. But after you've invested $20 or $25 million, I don't know. You got to make a call every once in a while. Someone's got to make the call. And we'll see. Maybe Kenseth goes out there and wins the first title with Joe Gibbs. And it's a great move. And Joey turns out to go up in flames. Roger Penske's already got one on the board. Pick the guy up. This guy. There's no position for him. We're going to take him. We're going to make it work. And he did it. Maybe Joey will be the second. Tommy Noodles certainly thinks he is, so maybe you're right, Gio. Tommy Noodles, the opposite. All right, we're going to take a break. Boy, that went long. It was supposed to be a couple minutes, and you just ran on, man, ran on. But it's all right, because when we come back, we got to do Formula One, Lewis Hamilton's crash, and then get up on out of here, right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Hey, this is Carlos, WFO radio producer. When you're done watching all the great videos, which I made, on the WFO Radio TV YouTube channel, head over to the WFOradio.com store for some really hot WFO radio gear. Like the WFO radio hat, which is now only $15. WFO New Era hats are on sale. Get a hat for your dad. Get a hat for your head. Or a sticker kit for your truck. WFO radio gear is on sale at WFOradio.com. Get some.
I am the greatest.
WFO Radio is the CompetitionPlus.com Radio Show of the Year.
It's all
over. Three straight championships. Hey, Joe, this is Corey Mihalik of Mihalik Brothers Racing. Kyle and I wanted to call and congratulate you and your team on winning your third consecutive CompetitionPlus.com Internet Radio Show of the Year award. No one deserves it more than you guys.
Greg from Seattle, WFO Radio, three-peat.
WFO Joe, this is Bobby from the Bayou. Hey, winning one time, that just shows the newness and the freshness of the show. Second time, maybe a little bit of the same thing, but the third time to win it is just strictly WFO.
Back to back to back.
Float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Ah, rumble, young man, rumble. Ah.
The one. The only WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
The greatest of all time. Of all time.
Now, back to WFO Radio Ignition.
Welcome back to WFO Radio. How about that little heated exchange regarding Joey Logano? You're very fired up. You're very fired up.
I'm not fired up.
You're
I'm
fired
right.
up. It's because you didn't. You're mad that I didn't like the nerd guy kissing Bar Raffaelli is what it is. Or you're a Joey Logano fan and you're bothered that Tommy Noodles picked the guy.
I actually do like Joey Logano.
I do too.
I'm fairly bothered that Tommy's trying to curse the kid.
Submarine.
But
the
I have
career.
My own issues with Joey Logano for calling out Jeff Gordon and not respecting him the way he should. For not standing up for himself against guys like
Ryan Newman,
Harvick and Newman and all that.
He's a little boy still.
Well, hopefully he's going to mature and turn into a man and defend himself and stop being sliced bread and being the king. Because if not, he's just going to be at the feet of Brad Kay over there the whole time and his big Miller Lite bottle.
Maybe so. Well, Brad is definitely the attitude over there. We'll see what Joey has. And again, maybe that's what holds Joey back. He doesn't have that swagger. He doesn't have it. Because Ryan Newman has pushed him around. And so has Kevin Harvick and others. And he is maybe not anymore. How old is Joey? 23?
22, 23.
Right. He's still a little boy, and he's got four years of cup experience, practically. So who knows? Maybe he went up too soon, but when he goes down to the Nationwide Series, he wins right away. He wins. He wins a lot. So what's he supposed to do? Go back and win Nationwide Championships every week and then relearn? I think he keeps doing what he's doing. I think he's going to be a success.
He will be. Joey just suffers from the fact that he was pushed up about a year or two too soon. the pressure that came along with taking over for that Tony Stewart ride, which was a championship driver, a championship car, had won, what, two or three titles already, crew chief, championship
Craig
crew chief,
Zippadelli, right.
And he comes in and he's really a little kid that got pushed into the spotlight, wasn't really ready for that, and maybe his career has been delayed a little bit because of it. But we can see the talent is clear there, because when he goes back to the lesser series of the Nationwide series, he's whooping those guys.
Whooping them good.
Whooping them good.
Winning a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, clearly.
He's definitely not broken. He's definitely not
broken. It's just
broken.
A matter of he's got to find his stride up in the up with the big boys.
If he was broken, Joe Gibbs broke him. That's another thing. That's another. Let's call it out. Was Joey Logano sliced bread?
We've seen it with quarterbacks that they get pushed in there and they no O-line, and next thing you know, the guy's got happy feet and they never make it again.
Who knows whether or not Joey will go on to be something. Probably not anymore.
I have confidence in Joey Logano that one day he will live up to the potential. And I'm going to go out on a limb, probably even win a championship somewhere along the line.
I think so, too. You can see, and we've been talking Joey Logano for a while, but this is it's funny how he's not even on the Web Rockers list of drivers. But whenever a young person with a lot of talent is on the verge, they were talking about him losing his job, not being in the Cup Series. A lot of people, the reporters certainly don't care. It is worth a little emotion involved. But you can see that Joey is maturing slowly, just biologically, like his physicality. He still talks like a kid, still looks like a kid. I hope I can win. You know what I'm saying? There are these guys that
saying,
when they're 19,
you know what he's gonna be really
they
grateful?
Look like a man. Like, what was that basketball dude's name? Ogden?
Ogden.
Who looked like he was 40 when he was 18. There's a guy who matured fast, like his body matured. I'm a man now, and I'm big. There's me, who I'm 40 now, and I look like I'm, you know, 28, 29.
18.
No,
18.
No.
Why go 28 or 29?
Let's not be silly. 28 to 33. I get people tell me that all the time. Women come up 28 to 33. All the time it happens. So I'm fortunate I have great DNA. Joey looks like he could be 17 and he's 20 something. And he talks kind of, you know, he's got.
But
that.
When he's 40, he'll be really grateful for
well,
that.
Well, right. And you've seen Kyle Busch very recently become a man. He went from that skinny
kid. Physically, he looks different. He looks thicker. He's losing his hair.
They've done studies about your brain, that your brain is not fully matured. This is not me just making this up.
Oh, it's Joe Hocus Pocus.
Right. Look it up. That your brain is not fully matured until you're in your late 20s. It makes perfect sense. I've lived it. My brain was definitely not fully mature when I was 22 or 24 or 27.
Or 30.
I think my brain matured when I got to be – I can tell you this. It's pretty much
all right,
mature
are we
now.
Are we mature yet?
Well, I'm the one who thinks that the kissing commercial was just over the top, too much, gross. Maybe that's it. That's a sign of my maturity. Maybe it just happened now, recently, with this. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is what matured me. Maybe it was my 40th birthday. I think it happened around 35. Somewhere in there. But I digress. Let's get into the whole, but Tommy Noodles has picked Joey Logano, and everybody send your complaint emails to joe@wforadio.com, or you can attack Tom on his Facebook page, whatever you want to do. Now, Formula One, testing. Earlier this week, maybe it was at the tail end of last week, we had the new car rollouts. In fact, it was. Tail end of last week, I watched the McLaren one on YouTube. I highly recommend it. Just to see what we're talking about. It's on the Facebook page, and they have at the McLaren headquarters, they've got an audience, like auditorium there, and there's a big glass wall, and then there's a lake, and the cars, there's a road built around the lake, and all the McLaren cars of consequence would come around the lake and then drive through the garage and park in front of the auditorium, and the driver would get out, and then they unveiled the new car, and it was just a spectacle, the likes of which you've never seen. It was great. Ferrari's was pretty amazing, too. Car was on stage and was covered by a cover. There was a reveal, and it was a hologram, and then suddenly it was the real car and the Ferrari. Have you seen it? A lot of black on the car. Only the top half is red, which is very different from what it is. And Red Bull is out, and everything is out, and all the cars are out, and now they're testing in Jerez, Spain. And today, Roman Grosjean in the Lotus was quickest, minute 18.21, followed by Paul Di Resta in the Force India, Daniel Ricciardo in the Toro Rosso, Mark Webber was fourth, Nico Hülkenberg fifth in the Sauber, Lewis Hamilton was sixth in the Mercedes, but he crashed and had a braking problem and destroyed the Mercedes. The McLaren guys are already laughing at Lewis for making a horrific mistake. Sergio Perez, seventh in the McLaren. Felipe Massa, eighth. Fernando is not involved just yet. Pastor Maldonado in the Williams. They're running last year's car at this test. James Rossiter in the Force India, 10th. Quiero van der Guard, Guard or Gardi. And the Caterham was 11th. And Luis Razia, 12th in the Marussia. And there you have it, the Formula One testing. I'm very excited about Formula One this year. I'm very much looking forward to it. The cars are gorgeous. They don't have that kick down, not as much, in the nose. And you can study some of the photos and see the differences between the cars. But very cool that Formula One on track, getting ready. First race, March 17th, Australia, Melbourne. Very, very cool. Also, mentioned Brad Kay. He was at ESPN today, doing the tour, basically. The car wash, as they say, did the Scott Van Pelt show, did PTI, did SportsCenter.
Da-da-da, da-da-da.
I like the kid. I think he's a great personality, and I wonder if he's going to be able to hold it together all year long. I kind of feel like he might slip and make a mistake.
It's hard to repeat.
No,
there's a lot of pressure.
I don't mean on the track. I mean off the track. I think he might say something questionable. He might use profanity.
You mean PC?
Yes.
Well, but profanity's allowed now. We all saw our boy Joe Flacco. You know, he was super excited and let a couple fly off the handle there.
Yes.
Bunch of guys. That's acceptable.
Brad loves giving his opinions about things.
And he might say something he
He loves giving his opinion about other sports, about everything. He's more of a talk radio caller. He wants his own talk show. You can see it. Just because he loves getting into it about, well, this and that, you know, and here's how it is. And I just wonder if at some point he's going to slip, which would be very entertaining for all of us in the motorsports media community. Did I just put myself in there? Oh, no. What are you going to do? There's been other testing ongoing, but really we're getting ready for the Sprint Unlimited, which is not Saturday, but next Saturday. And I am looking forward to it. Get back going. The Gen 6 car, everybody's talking about it. Everybody's interested in it. Then the Daytona 500. In the world of the NHRA, Dave Reif has been announced as the lead broadcaster on ESPN2's coverage of NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing, which that's exciting. Congratulations to Dave.
Way to go, Reefer.
Yes.
Who's the color guy?
Mike Dunn.
Oh, okay. Dunn is the same one. All
of
right,
course.
Sorry, yeah.
Mike Dunn.
I apologize.
He's not going anywhere.
So who's going to do Reef's job? That girl?
I don't know. We're going to have to see. We're going to have to see how everybody moves and what positions everybody ends up in. But there's definitely some flux going on over there on the ESPN broadcast team. So we'll see. Now, next week, I'll be in Pomona. If you're going to be out in Pomona, follow me on Twitter, WFO Joe, and I'll let you know where I'm going to be, and we'll meet up. Also, the Fantasy League, Fantasy, at WFOradio.com. You got to get with it, like right now, because we're going to start sending out, emails. And you, like, I don't mind if your dad, if you want to set up, give him the code, that's fine.
The Aviators.
That's fine. I just really want, am I wrong here? Am I wrong for wanting to be able to contact the people that are in the Fantasy League and know that they know that things are happening on the show?
You want to hold them accountable.
It's not just that. I want them to be listeners. I want them to be listeners. I want the league to be flow. WFO flow. For listeners only. And they're very close friends and family members. And so there you go. Anything else, Giovanni? Top Gear. You know, the Top Gear show, was, I watched the BBC America debut of the real BBC show. It's such a great show. Then the actual Top Gear America debut was the other night, and I missed it. I'm a bad motorsports fan, I guess. There's someone on our Facebook page that's talking about how the Top Gear America one is better, and I just can't do it. And here's why. The cars they talked about on the BBC one, the real Top Gear, there was a Pagani, the new replacement to the Zonda, which is like a Herrera or something. Amazing. The car's got these flaps that open and close and aerodynamic, moving aerodynamic parts, and they put it through its paces, and it set the quickest time around the Top Gear track ever of any car. See, to me, that's interesting. Performance, test, on track, performance driving, setting a time, setting a record. All great for me. The second car that they tested was Captain Slow in a, he was basically the navigator for a rally driver, and they took it on a WRC rally track, a Bentley, the new all-wheel drive Bentley. And they got this 4,000-pound Bentley jumping over mud and going crazy, but fast. They raced it. What did they do with this Bentley? They raced it. That's right in my wheelhouse. That's entertainment with cars. And then the final segment was Jeremy has invented a one-person car that you can drive into your house and on a bus and into a library, and he's trying to sell it. It was like a combination of Shark Tank and Top Gear. But, of course, the British versions of both. I did not know they had a British version of Shark Tank until I saw this. Another one of our shows was actually started by the Brits. Why don't we just start watching British TV?
If Are you sure this one didn't go the other way? Because isn't Mark Cuban involved with Shark Tank?
Yes, I think.
Oh, so he just decided to get his own version of the U.S.
That's
one?
Exactly what I think. I have no idea. I'm not sure.
I'll
Please
have to look
someone
that one
me.
Up because I was under the impression that Shark Tank was like Cuban's deal as
Cuban's
became...
version of some British show.
Well, clearly no, yes. But I just thought it was something that was made up of like a reality show version of the fact that people are constantly pitching sales and trying to get him to invest in their ideas.
All I know is Jeremy
and
brings
it made
this
sense. No, I understand, but it just made
to
sense
a
that
panel of guys. They're all big money capital people, and they all have to tell him that the idea stinks. And that's what Shark Tank is. And that's there's a whole bunch of shows like that. But they're referring to this show and the stars from the show, who I don't know they are, in the past tense. Like everybody knows them already. And Shark Tank's only been going for what? Two seasons? Relatively
2009.
New. That's three seasons. It just makes sense that another one of our shows was ripped off from the BBC. In conclusion, the Jeremy bit was hysterical. I laughed like crazy. I respected the Pagani, and I thought that the rallying Bentley was amazing. And then I turned on the promo for the debut of Top Gear America. And they were blowing up cars. They were dropping a car from a crane. I don't know what they do, but when you're dropping cars from cranes and blowing them up and see which car can, it reminds me, and Carlos Hockenstuff is not here, but I'll use his quote, Jackass with cars. Now, there was a guy on our Facebook page who said he loved Top Gear America, that it was great, that it was better, except for the car reviews, which is the whole show. But from what I get from the promos, and someone, Mattman, somebody, set me straight. But Top Gear America does come across as Jackass with cars. It's an insult almost. I don't know. It seems to me that the Brits appreciate speed, engineering, technology, and performance driving, even a little humor. And in America, we're Jackass with cars. Now, maybe that's all they showed in the preview. Maybe that's, was in the preview. Actually, Tanner Faust did this highly technical review of this thing, and he showed performance driving, and it was great, and everybody appreciated it and all that. I've seen many episodes, And none of them have been anywhere close to what you get out of the BBC crew. They don't have the love of the automobile that the BBC version has. They don't have the passion for driving that the BBC version has. It's like Jackass with cars. And I don't know. Somebody set me straight. Tell me I'm wrong. And maybe I am. But what can you do? Our great friend Brian O. Latunji.
Saw the show last night.
Did you see the show?
I did. I saw the first one. There was two back-to-back, but yeah. I only saw the first
one. He was only in the second one. Now that, there's a lot of different angles. It's great that Brian O. is on the show, and next week he's going to be on big time, and it's going to be great. Part one, that's great. All great. Part two, some elements were really, rough.
That host.
The host.
Oh, he's terrible.
My notes are the host got to go.
He's terrible.
I tested the water.
That guy was grotesque. Yes. He was way too ugly.
If he can be on TV.
So can you.
Yes. Gave me hope. Everybody sees the WFO Radio YouTube videos. Speaking of which, can everybody that's listening right now go watch our videos like 50 times? We have been informed that we need to get our view numbers on the YouTube channel up, especially the auto review stuff. Like from the car show and like the Prius review, all that stuff. We need you all to watch it 50 times each. Or at least click on it.
Just click on it once a day for a couple weeks.
For 50 or 60 days. Please do that for us. It would be very helpful. They're available in the app and at the WFO Radio YouTube channel. But you see, I'm trying to get to the point where on television I'm reasonably friendly. And, man, I advanced a whole lot just by watching that guy. Because I realized how in front I am. Not to rip the guy, of course.
No, but, of course not.
No. But Brian O.
That hair was terrible.
Brian O. is the best on the show by far.
Oh, way the best.
By far. Best personality, number one. Number two.
He speaks English.
Well, yes. Yes.
Come on, let's be honest here.
He's an American. He's an English-speaking American man.
Forget American. He speaks English.
Yes. Our great friend Juan Carlos Blum, who Gio had to remind me was on our show from Homestead Miami Speedway. You know, they're a big-time Mexican power broker.
Business. Magnates, so to speak.
And so from dreams to champions, I don't know, it's a little easier. You got Brian O. is there... Coming from humble means out of Detroit, is a mechanical engineer. He's trying to make things happen on his own. I think it's fantastic. He's a drag racer, and then the drifter kid. I don't even want to get into it. Yeah, I got to take care to not review these shows.
Shark Tank. It's not actually a British thing. It was debuted originally in 2001 on Japanese TV, and the whole concept is known throughout the world as Dragon's Den. That's what the show is, basically entrepreneurs making a pitch to
They call those guys dragons. They call them dragons.
Correct.
Dragon's Den. So in America, we're not dragons because we're not into dragons.
No, we're sharks.
We are sharks, and that's why they call it Shark Tank. So I was mostly right.
You're right there.
Except the Brits stole it from the Japanese, just like Iron Chef.
There you go. So apparently this concept for this TV show has been around for over 10 years, and the Japanese had it first in 2001. And then it went over to the Brits, and it's very popular throughout the world, apparently.
Well, I think it's a great idea and a wonderful show. I love it.
It's a good show.
I love it. Invention USA, it's not, I don't know where it is. It's gone.
It's got some episodes. It's got some.
It's the best show, and it's gone. All right, folks, that's going to do it. We are out of here. Hopefully you had a good time. Me and Gio went back and forth, round and round, over Joey Logano. So it's been a great show. But hey, before we go, we got to hear Tommy time. I just had to we can't have Tommy Noodles in the same 20-minute block. We got to separate it. So before we get on out of here, it's now time for the craziest 2 minutes in all of radio, Tommy time.
Hey, it's that time of week again where it's Tommy time. And Super Bowl is over, and I've been watching it, and... You know, they have all these great commercials that they tell you about. Why don't they do the same thing with the Daytona 500? Try to sell it. Try to make it bigger. Try to make people get involved. Try to make people watch it. Give them something to talk about the next day. If they don't like the sport, this way they can at least have a reason to turn it on. This was my first year as a football fan, and the commercials weren't as important to me this year, maybe because they were horrible or whatever.
They need to find something to get people more involved. I know that it is, you know, the number one spectator sport in America. They don't need me to help them. But we need more than that. And the other thing that I realized is the fact that, you know, every time they talk about these football players, there's always some kind of illegal activity and stuff. And when I was a kid, we had heroes in our lives, like Darrell Waltrip, who was a great hero. He's, you know, a religious man. People might not care about that, but that, you know, he had a purpose in his life. And when he won the Daytona 500, he did the shuffle and the dance, and it was great to see. And when Dale Earnhardt finally won the Daytona 500, like, everyone came out to see him. We need more heroes like that. And that's what my rant is about this week, is the fact that we need more heroes. We need more people to look up to for our children. And as a parent, there aren't really that many sports athletes out there that we have who can do that. And I don't really can think of anybody in NASCAR that my children should look up to right now, at least. But if you have a different opinion, please let me know. Tell me who should be my children's idol, someone that they can look up to. At least it's not as bad as the idols in football, but or baseball, or, you know. But, you know, that's what I want. I want my children to get involved in the sport and have a hero like Darrell Waltrip to look up to. So that's my rant this week. Talk to you next week.
And there you have it. Tommy time. This guy is a maniac. Who knows what the heck he is saying? Tommy Noodles, you can only hear him right here on WFO Radio. And that's going to do it. WFO Radio, we are out of here. What a show, huh? We had Tommy Noodles pick his driver. We had Tommy time. We talked a little bit about the Super Bowl. We talked about Brad Kay and the whole Joey Logano situation. Tommy picking his driver. And me and Gio basically slightly disagreeing on who spent the most money on whose career. Bottom line, racing season is back. Don't forget, fantasy at WFOradio.com, fantasy at WFOradio.com. We're going to send out the codes soon, so be ready. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.